Dr. Gili Leshed, thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
One of the projects that you're working on is learning about how citizens use technology to engage in public policy making. Can you talk about why you got interested in this area, and why do you think it's important?
Oh, that's a great question. Citizens have a lot of ways to participate in democracy. The most well-known one is voting, obviously, but there's other ways, protesting, going on rallies. But there is one way that citizens can participate, which is commenting on proposals of public policies. By law, in the US, whenever there is a federal rulemaking that is being proposed, there is a period where the proposal goes out for public commenting. And people are invited, everyday people like you and me and everyone else, invited to come and give comments on these policies, on specific issues in these policies. Now, it's really hard for the everyday citizen to participate in that because they sit in archives. They're really long. They're like 200 or 500 pages long. And they're written in what we call legalese, legal language. And so it's not accessible to most people. Putting it online doesn't really help because it's still really long. It's obscure and hard to find those policy proposals that are relevant to our everyday lives. For example, maybe a proposal about texting and driving could matter to us. But maybe a proposal about something obscure like the plastic content in some kind of container that is produced in Texas is not relevant to us right here, right now. So we want to find the proposals that are relevant to us, and we want to be able to understand them. So what we were interested in doing is create a way that we could design an online space for everyday people that could participate in the conversation around policies like these. So things like texting and driving, things like consumer debt collection practices. These are really important for a lot of people. How do you make these accessible to the everyday person who has a say and wants to participate more?
And how do you propose to create this, marketplace of ideas or a place of mm-hmm. entry?
Yeah, so what we do, we learn a lot from social science and from behavioral science, what motivates people to participate, what makes things more accessible to them, what's going to draw their attention to the site, and in the site, how can we teach them what are the norms of participation? We want people to, first of all, read the proposal, and we make the proposal accessible by chunking it down and translating it to high school level language. And then structuring the site in a way that you can see the information in the right place and that you know exactly where to comment and how to comment. What are the norms of commenting? Don't just say, I like it or I dislike it, because this is useless for the policymakers. So how do you educate people? How do you provide them with information about, tell us exactly what in the policy you like or dislike, and what is your personal experience that is relevant and that provides evidence to this? So we use a lot of clues. We use moderation, human moderation, that intervenes and gives people tools and scaffolding to participate in a useful way, in a productive way.
And where are you testing this?
Okay, so there is a platform called Smart Participation. Right now, I think we just finished running a proposal on traffic congestion in New York City, where people could comment on things like Uber and pedestrians and cyclists and private transportation and public transportation in New York. And so the platform is Smart Participation. Before that, we called it Regulation Room when we were focused on regulations. We also test it, believe it or not, with Amazon Mechanical Turk. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
So Amazon Mechanical Turk is a platform. It's a marketplace where people come to work and do small tasks. They're called HITs, human intelligent tasks. They get paid for them. And so what we do is we set up a website that looks like Smart Participation, and we can play with the design of it and see what's more effective in getting people to comment in the way that we wanted them to comment, and we pay them for that. But to make them more motivated to actually participate in a meaningful way and not just for the pay that they're getting, is we put up the policy of participating on Amazon Mechanical Turk. So the workers, whom are called Turkers, they get paid for commenting on the policy, the participation agreement. And so there are a lot of issues around what if their task gets rejected? What if they don't get paid on time? What is it about the payment? What's the payment structure? What's the structure of the different tasks that they can participate in? And so we use that as the platform for testing a lot of our design ideas, which are again rooted in behavioral and social science ideas.
And how is this project funded? You must, in order to pay the participants, you must have a funding stream. I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have funding from the National Science Foundation for this project. It's a 3-year project that is collaboration within Cornell between information science, the department I'm in, computer science, our neighboring department, communication, and the law school. So the platform itself, Smart Participation, is housed in the law school, and the project is called the Cornell E-Rulemaking Initiative.
And are you concerned about getting participants from a wide range of the public?
Yes. We do try to do as many outreach activities as we can to reach to specific groups that are relevant to the specific policy that we put out for consultation, for discussion. So, for example, when we were doing a policy discussion around onboard recorders on trucks, on commercial trucks, we wanted to get as many truckers and people from the trucking industry to participate. And so we tried to reach out to organizations that could help us get to those truckers.
And was that successful?
Yes, generally we get a few hundred people to participate, in a consultation, in a discussion, and we also try to get people from multiple sides. For example, when we did the consumer debt collection practices, we wanted consumers, those who have debt and are experiencing the debt collection from the side of the consumer, but we also wanted to hear from those who do the collection. Mm-hmm. And so it was a little bit harder because it's a smaller population, but we were able to get some of these lawyers as well who work in the debt collection areas to participate in the conversation.
You were talking a little bit about the behavior of the users of your survey. Are you worried at all about whether people are honest in their responses?
Do you mean the workers, the Amazon Mechanical Turk workers? Yes, we do. That's actually a problem on Amazon Mechanical Turk, people who try to make easy money on Amazon Mechanical Turk. But for the most part, we get a lot of comments that are very genuine. People talk about the difficulties or the experiences of being workers on Amazon Mechanical Turk. They earn very little money. They get a problem of their work being rejected. They're in the status of independent contractors, so often their work gets rejected and they don't get paid for work that they did, but the person who put out the work still gets it done, mm-hmm. and can use the work. So that's a big problem that we see, and people talk about it. They talk about it in relationship to the participation agreement.
And just getting back to the idea of civic engagement, do you worry about equity and accessibility? For example, if people are not able to afford their own computers or internet service, mm-hmm. that they might be left out of this type of civic engagement.
It is a problem, definitely. So one reason is that result from this is that, first of all, we try to make our websites accessible in a way that even people with disabilities, like hearing disabilities, or people who are have blindness, or who are just not as used to working with computers, they can still use the site by making it as intuitive as possible, using guidelines for usability to make it very easy to use. We also try to work with community centers, so people can go on the computers that are available in libraries and community centers to participate. But yes, it's definitely a problem. A third thing that we did right now, recently, is we made smart participation very accessible on smartphones. So there is more people today in the US with smartphones than they have computers. It's very common to use smartphones. And so you could go on smart participation. It's what we call responsive design. So it looks good on a small screen and you can go and use it there.
And if people want to look at that, how do they find it?
So again, we try to reach out to tell people about it. You go on smartparticipation.com, I think, maybe .org. I don't remember right now, but it's smartparticipation.com or .org. And there you can find it.
And are there any studies that are on the site right now that people will find if they went to that site?
Yeah, I think right now we're just wrapping up the New York City congestion conversation. We try to have only one conversation at a time because of the labor-intensive moderation that happens while there is a discussion going on.
And who's going to be analyzing the results from this study?
So I work with a PhD student, Brian McInnes, with several other researchers, Claire Cardi in computer science, Sue Fussell in communication, Cynthia Farina in the law school, and we have a lot of law school students who are also interested in participating, and they work with us on analyzing the data, setting it up, summarizing the content of the comments, and sending it off to the agencies that are interested in it.
Do you feel that other governments, such as, for example, the New York State government, is interested in this kind of an effort?
You know what? It's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, yes, they want the feedback from the public, and by law, they have to take it. On the other hand, it's sometimes hard to digest. You know, if you put so much effort, so much time and money into creating a policy proposal, and then you get feedback about things that you have to change about it, it's hard. Mm-hmm. So sometimes agencies are not necessarily interested in working with us because they're not sure they have the resources to work with the in-depth and large amounts of feedback that they get from the commenters who come to the site.
Yes, I think that I may have had that experience myself. I once responded to a comment period for SGEIS for New York State having to do with fracking. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Department of Environmental Conservation, they don't have that many employees right now to work on these policies. But I understand that double-edged sword. So are there any future projects that your group will be looking at?
With this specific project?
Yes.
Yeah, so the next immediate project is to look at what do we do with the large amounts of comments that we get from a discussion. So in the recent consultation that we did about consumer debt collection, we had over 1,000 or maybe close to 2,000 comments. And many of them have a lot of meat in them. They're not just yes, no, I agree, I disagree. They have experiences, they have stories. And so these need to be summarized and clustered in a way that we can provide this in a meaningful way to back to the government agency that is working with us. And so right now we're working with human moderators, but maybe we can crowdsource it. Maybe the people who are participating can help us take this back and create those clusters and summarize the discussion and use it as a way for the agencies. And you can see this happening online. Wikipedia, for example, mm-hmm. that's a knowledge base that is created by everyday people. And they just get together and there is a lot of small work, little work that is being done by fixing the grammar, fixing the English, but adding content, fixing the content, making sure that the content is neutral and not, especially on controversial topics. This has been done, and we're thinking about ways that we can do the same thing. And so to reduce the labor intensiveness of the moderation that we have right now, so that maybe in the future, agencies can take this platform and just use it without our intervention.
Wow, so thank you so much for talking with me today, Dr. Gili Leshed, about the role of citizens in using technology to engage in public policymaking.
Thank you.